This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, visiting with my colleague, Terry Anderson of the Hoover Institution, whose book, Adapt and Be Adept, can't be mentioned enough because apparently it keeps coming back. Just when I think that, oh, surely they know the book that Terry's published with economists and observers about the limits of the renewables, about the necessity of fossil fuels indefinitely. Adapt and Be Adept, Market Responses to Climate Change. But no, we come back again to a heresy by a HSBC banker saying that the end of the world is not nigh, that we're going to go forward with a mix of energy sources, and to be practical-minded, fossil fuels are one of them. Terry, I want to come to the point of making batteries, because that often is the case made for why renewables are useful. To store energy that we can use at night or in parts of the world where the wind doesn't blow. Batteries and solar panels, but batteries especially, consist of rare earths and materials that are mined around the world, often mined in severe conditions by governances that are highly questionable, and also the solar panel market is dominated by the People's Republic of China. So the resources are being extracted from people who are not well financed or not well taken care of by their governances. And the solar panel market is dominated by an adversary of the United States. It occurs to me when I read through your book again that when we say these things, how are we heard, Terry? Are we understood as being troublesome, or are we identifying what's wrong with this plan?
Well, of course, we're understood as being troublesome because we're raising the data, the facts that show what you just said about the kinds of materials needed for solar panels and batteries. And one only needs to ask people in Germany today what happens when the socio-political environment is upset, as it was with Russia's invasion of the Ukraine. Germany, dependent on oil from Russia, is experiencing just what will happen when you disrupt those supplies. And we can't just sit back and say, well, let's just accept that China will somehow keep producing these things. And if they don't, where are we going to go? And it comes back again to Mark Mill's point. Fossil fuels are here to stay because they are something we have lots of in the United States. And I should just add, too, when we talk about fossil fuels, we should understand that one of the main ones that really is important in this equation is natural gas. And we have huge amounts of natural gas, could have more if we didn't restrict leasing so much on public lands. And natural gas is one of the most friendly fuels you can have if you care about the climate. And yet we shoot ourselves in the foot by not allowing exploration and development of natural gas, all because we think it's an evil greenhouse gas that needs to be eliminated.
A statement by another one of your essayists in your book, Kenneth Costello. This is about public choice theory. I'm going to ask you what that means, but I'll read the sentence. Public choice theory predicts that government, composed of bureaucrats and politicians, lacks the necessary information and the right incentives to pursue efficient policies that are in the public good. Is that being taken into account, Terry, in these decisions that are being made about doing away with or cutting back on fossil fuels?
You're talking to one of the world's greatest cynics when you're talking to me when it comes to whether or not government will do the right thing. Public choice is a study of using economics to study how public officials make decisions. And out of it comes the fact that public officials are, like it or not, dominated by special interests. And some of those special interests are environmentalists, some of them are oil interests, and the list goes on. And I think the point that Ken Costello is making is that once we recognize that politicians and bureaucrats are unlikely to just take on climate change because it's the moral thing to do, I keep emphasizing the moral money point, then once we recognize that they're driven by special interests, then we have to understand that it's not clear that even if reducing carbon emissions and taking on climate change is the right thing to do, that they'll do it. I have to use a phrase that sticks in my mind always. And that is, I was at a conference of the Wall Street Journal, and Jeff Immelt, then CEO of GE, was there, and he was talking about all the great things that GE had done to save us from climate change, and all the regulations that we needed from government. And I said, well, that's fine for you. You're a big company and you lobby, you get the regulations you want. But what about the entrepreneurs out here in Silicon Valley? And he turned to me and to the audience and said, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. And I think that's public choice in a nutshell. They, the special interests are always at the table. And Ken Costello is pointing out that we shouldn't think that government is just going to do good for the climate or be the moral guiding light for us.
Terry, we're told in the news that we're facing a summer of brownouts. Actually, they use the word blackout, but I prefer brownout because it's not as threatening. This is in the United States of America. This isn't overseas. We know that the Europeans are facing a summer of brownouts as well. We are not prepared to live our lives and be prosperous without electricity. Is that the future for us, Terry, if we follow this ESG logic that fossil fuels must be done away with by, pick your date, 2050, 2060, 2070? Are we committing ourselves to a future of fewer choices?
Without a doubt, we're going to have fewer choices because we will legislate that we'll have fewer choices. We will say you can't drive that gas guzzling, diesel guzzling car. You have to drive an electric car. And it may sound far-fetched that there would be such regulations, but we have those kinds of regulations in place today that force fuel efficiency and other ways of reducing use of fossil fuels. So we're going to have fewer choices. And when we have fewer choices, we're going to have less prosperity. And with the less prosperity, we'll get the brownouts. We will get other shortages that we couldn't even imagine would happen. And I think we should take a lesson from, again, back to the events in the Soviet Union, or Russia rather, and the Ukraine and their effect on Europe. We should look at that and understand that it won't be Russia doing this to us, but it'll be us doing this to us, because we are not tapping into, again, I pick natural gas, but not using the fossil fuels that we have in a prudent way that will prevent us from having brownouts, or more generally, prevent us from having the kind of slow or negative growth that we're likely to get if we continue on this path.
Terry Anderson, the Hoover Institution. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.